offering prestigious accommodation, ensuite facilities and high-quality care for residents provided 24/7 by qualifying nurses and carers, Roseville Care Centre provides the perfect home for its residents' emotional, spiritual, social, physical and intellectual needs. A purpose-built residential care facility in the heart of Ingleby Barwick, Roseville is a care centre which provides facilities to accommodate elderly residential and nursing service users, offering both short and long-stay accommodation, as well as respite and daycare. To find out more, please telephone 01642 30 81 88 or visit our website rosevillecarecentre.com. Roseville Care Centre.
In today's crowded world, it's sometimes hard to get heard. And sometimes you need a little extra push to be heard. That's where Manila PR can help. We specialise in online radio and press for independent bands, with prices to match, and have been doing so for the last decade. So if you have a noise to make, make it with Manila. Visit manilapr.com now.
Quite right, too. A very good morning to Southside Broadcasting Channel 1 for the James Cook University Hospital. Of course, southsidebroadcasting.podbean.com is how you may be listening to us. More and more people are these days, and quite rightly so. They're making that choice. And online, one of the key folk behind one of our rural activities, fresh from the Cheltenham Festival, and a whole heap of other goodies as well. Of course, we welcome the legend that is Minty Steed. Good morning, Minty. How are you?
Okay, thank you.
Excellent. We also need to introduce a young lady who came along with her grand... Was it your grandmum last... Yes, exactly. Yeah. And she's doing a silver Duke of Edinburgh Award. Is that right? Or is it gold?
It's silver,
It's
yeah.
a silver, and it's your communications badge. So that's why you're here, and that's Laura McCann.
Hello.
Laura is a keen fan of animals, and in particular doggies. Is that not right, Laura?
Yes, I am a dog person.
So I've shown her a photograph of Toffee and your good self, of course. So
yes.
that's all positive. And the key question we need to ask before we even start talking about your views on Cheltenham or other things is, how is he?
Oh, he's fine. Doing very well. He is at the moment into a bit of teddy bear kidnapping from Hugo. He discovered that he could steal Hugo's teddy. And he hid it, and then in the middle of the night, he decided to dig it out of his hidey hole and put it down for me, as if to say, so I would tell you about, because we should play with it, which I didn't indulge him with, which upset him rather. And then I thought the best thing is I dropped it in the box, and he spent about 5 minutes working out how to get in the box and bring out said teddy, and then he buried it again. Hugo wasn't very happy about that, seeing his teddy bear, his companion kidnapped, and then, you know, teddy hidden.
And Hugo's species is, of course...
A lurcher.
A lurcher. And when you got a lurcher up against Toffee, Lord knows what's going to happen.
Oh, yes, a very tall lurcher, a saluki greyhound cross lurcher, was very, very fast. Hugo was traumatized on his teddy.
Oh, I'm not surprised. A lurcher and his teddy bear, they're inseparable.
Absolutely.
Let's move on to slightly more sobering news, because I know you said that we weren't able this year in the end to do any coverage of the event called Crufts, but there's some shenanigans going on there, weren't there, Minty, with respect to poisoned beef cubes and all sorts of other areas. I mean, it's getting quite unpleasant, I thought.
Very. I would like to point out that what I did this year is, you know, because of ill health and the injury, etc., we couldn't do the full panoply of all the race courses. It was just impossible. And so I decided not to put Toffee forward this year's Crufts for being a nominee for Friend for Life, having not been able to complete the full range of the race courses. So we're going to redo it again this year, one way or another, and then Toffee will go forward and be nominated for it. So it was that I didn't fulfill the nomination at Farms. They didn't send them in. I thought, no, I'll leave it and we'll do the full thing, then I'll put him forward for it, you see. To be fair to everybody, all concerned, race courses and everything, there was no point in sending it sort of half-house. So that was the end of that one. But when I heard this, it came as no astonishment at all that these things do happen. And unfortunately, there's a very competitive side to dog showing and exhibiting, and there's a very aggressive competitive style of dog showing. No one's been very competitive, whether it be fun show or what at Crufts or whatever. That's all part and parcel of it, and you have to be a good sport and a good loser as well as a decent winner. But it does tend to confine to a varied amount of species, of the breeds that seem to have enthusiasts that sort of take it as World War III and they're not going to lose it. And now, the thing that finding this had happened was no astonishment to me whatsoever. However, finding that Crufts were completely and absolutely point blank stating not these things don't happen at Crufts, that event acknowledging it did happen this year, okay, they did that, but as if to say until this event, oh, horror of horrors, nothing awful could ever happen at Crufts, I would beg to differ somewhat. After all, no names, no pack drill, but we all know a certain dog who won a championship, and everyone knew that certain dog, probably nothing would come up to him for 4, 5 or 6 years until another one that was bred that was better came along, you know, and hoisted him off his plinth, as it were. He ended up, of course, with 5 major operations in his eyes, etc. And Crufts would never acknowledge that that happened.
Just on the subject of Crufts, so, I mean, it's an article which went out a few weeks ago, actually, in the Eye by a writer, Gillian Orr, raising about talking about the influx of foreign dogs going to. Yeah. I mean, basically, until 2000, until 2000, Crufts was a British institution, as British as cucumber sandwiches. The following year, of course, 2001, the UK relaxed its quarantine laws and foreign dogs were able to enter the annual competition.
Yeah.
In 2009, there were just 1,100 overseas dogs. This year, a little under 3,000 overseas dogs were registered, majority coming from Europe. There were 631 French, 530 Italians, and 513 Germans. Also entrants from the United States, South Korea, Thailand, and Brazil, practically like the World Cup. The Kennel Club, who obviously run Crufts, and we have spoken to them before, not necessarily about this, but again, might be worth writing a reply. They've been trying to encourage foreign dogs across, but essentially because they're interested in making money, according to an anonymous Crufts aficionado.
Yeah.
Their claim
money,
is...
Money.
Yeah, it's just sort of increasing the number of bottoms on seats at the NEC, and by and large, the foreign dogs are no better than the dogs of the United Kingdom, but proportionately they seem to do better.
Well, it's good for publicity, and we all know a certain charity whose name Charity isn't the most charitable use of the name Charity, who have a mantra, prosecution means profit, and in the same way, either publicity gets on the prosecution means profit, we all know that one, so therefore most other big charities follow the same concept. Anything it calls for publicity will bring in the shekels. Crufts know that if it's a dog from another country wins, then that would cause a lot more publicity than a well-written, concise piece about Crufts XX year, so-and-so shown that Crufts XX years eventually achieved their goal of having the best dog in the UK isn't quite the same, should I say, red top headlines as, someone comes from Japan or wherever and sweeps all before them and outdoes the UK at Crufts, which no one minds them doing. It's a good enough dog, who minds? But it's a publicity, and publicity always makes pounds, you see. That's the thing. And of course, when you've got someone coming from abroad, they generally can afford to come from abroad, so we're not talking small money coming over, and generally if you can afford to come over from abroad and bring your dog over, and not all of them, because many of them have to do it a shoestring and drive, actually, across four or five countries and take about a fortnight to get there, and well done to them. And no animosity to anyone with money at all, you know, that has nothing to do with it. But if you're coming over, you're going to stay at a good place, it's going to bring in business, and then people want to promote clubs because clubs are going to bring them in business, you see. And, of course, the main achievement of winning clubs is, of course, all the kudos of all the contracts and that that come with it, and the dog project have to implement a certain bag of dog food, etc. So it means money. So what I've always considered is this. There should be two massive dog shows in the country. Every country has its own top championship show for its own country, you know, and then most of the big shows now also have a big international show, so people come from all over the world. Now, for instance, in horse and pony showing and show jumping, you have your national championships, and then you have your international championships. So it should be two shows, one for the top dogs in the UK, you know, as it's always been, and then one, a really massive one, even larger than Crufts, way past Crufts size sort of thing, and open it up as a, so international champions and internationally qualified dogs from all over the world can come to it, and then you're competing in an international show, that which is the correct thing. I mean, it's done for other breeds and species of animals. It's done for humans who go athletics. You win your national championships and your international championships or your European championships and things. But this concept of crushing an international show into UK's biggest dog show for the UK doesn't quite really fit. You can't fit twice the amount into a pint pot, can you? And you don't do it. And also then it would give an edge to competition and encourage more people in this country to go out and compete internationally themselves at other shows in other countries and then qualify for international qualifications. You
okay,
see, you know?
Some interesting points there.
Yeah.
Let's just hold it, because there's one other thing which I was quite surprised at, was the notion of performance-enhancing products such as hairspray, only allowed at Crufts since 2013, but apparently overseas dog shows have been using hairspray. I'll say that again, hairspray, so they spray up those sort of things. I'm showing Laura sort of photograph of that whole thing. Exactly. You know, again, you just think, whoa, that's the clearly...
It's been used in cattle and sheep for donkeys.
Very true. I was aware of that, Minty, with respect to Lou, to the range of things, but I just thought it's astounding. Anyway, Laura, questions from what you've heard so far, or indeed comments? Does this surprise you about the competitive nature? I mean, where do you sit on the sort of foreign owners in Crufts and so on, foreign dogs in Crufts?
Well, it seems to be very competitive because... this poisoning of the dog, well, there are theories that it could be by another competitor, so are they taking the competitiveness too far in poisoning another dog?
I think the answer there would be
Nothing's too far. Nothing's too far for some people in anything in this world. But you do also have to have the element that you can get an anti-dog person. All you have to do is buy a ticket and walk around. And, you know, feed the dog something while it's being unobserved or anything, and that can happen. So it doesn't necessarily have to be another competitor to go so far as poisoning. Although there was a big carry-on at the Great Yorkshire last year about the fact over a magnificent cow that no other, you know, nothing of the bovine species could match it, and it came over here and it became very ill and its milk was contaminated, therefore the animal being contaminated with something, and that's still going on about the carry-on over that. Yeah.
But would you not think that if an anti-dog person was walking around, they would poison more than one dog rather than just
one?
Yeah,
they have, because more have been and cooked. very quiet until only when they couldn't keep it quiet anymore, and they had to admit that six more dogs were poisoned at the same time.
It's a very unfortunate line. Let's draw a veil on that and actually look at a fantastic fact that we emerged, because the first novice to win the Cheltenham Gold Cup since Captain Christie, 41 years ago, back in 1974, actually did the whole piece. Coney Gree, and Nico de Bonville won the Gold Cup. I know you were talking about hopefully getting down there. I was unable to get to Cheltenham again this year. She's gone. Yes, it's the shock. It's the shock and horror of the whole thing. We'll get Minty back to hopefully sort of find out a little bit more about Coney Gree and the Gold Cup and a whole heap of other goodies as well. Still to come as far as the Saturday show on Southside Broadcasting and the James Cook University Hospital's Speedy Channel 1 is concerned, and southsidebroadcasting.podbean.com. We'll be speaking to Katrina Lakin. Katrina, of course, who is one of our key singers, and there's a whole range of factors to that, so Katrina will be joining us. Plus, of course, we'll be going live to Sarah Bullimore to find out what exactly is happening in the Sow Festival. But meanwhile, Laura, Noel Gallagher's High Flying Birds, what are your views? All right, no views whatsoever. Oh, well, let's see what you make of this, then.
Just drop me in for the gap.
Many people would say he's never bettered his time in Oasis, and indeed, it's probably a point in terms of that. Noel Gallagher and his High Flying Birds in the heat of the moment. It could happen, in every sense of the word, the heat of the moment at Cheltenham. No, our connection has gone again. Unbelievable. Thankfully, Noel Gallagher's still with us. We will hopefully sort of connect with Minty one last time. Otherwise, who knows what could be happening. In fact, we'll dial her up now. And with positive thinking, we'll say, Minty, are you back with us?
Yes.
Good.
For the third time.
Yeah.
Right. Twice, haven't we?
Right, outrageous. So, as we said, High Flying Birds, High Flying Horses, Coney Gree, your thoughts on the Cheltenham Festival, which Laura has just uttered those words. So, Cheltenham, is that some sort of... Oh, sorry, oh, yes, it is, Laura.
It certainly is some sort of horse race.
Fairly mega important horse racing festival,
it's
Laura.
Mega important. Meeting, it's the racehorse festival. If you think the Grand National is what you call, they call everything the people thing nowadays, don't they? So it's open for the general public of everybody and anybody, you know, everybody pours into it. Then the Grand National is that one, but Cheltenham is the aficionado, the horse place of all horse places.
Okay.
And that's why doing a work placement at the Duke of Edinburgh Communications Award with Southside is educational as well, Laura.
Yeah.
Oh, it definitely is. Yeah. It definitely is. But it is absolutely, it's the ultimate in, and for the Gold Cup, it is one, the whole of the race area, just complete, apart from the race course itself and the winner's enclosure, is one mass solid of people. And they literally move together en masse, well, you'd have to, otherwise you'd be crushed underfoot, you know. And is it crammed there, absolutely everyone. And it's one huge, soft swell of a crowd, like waves of the sea. And what they call the Chelsea, you know, as it starts off and then all the way through from start to finish. And it is quite something, even the Derby can't be mass thing of Cheltenham and the Gold Cup. You know, it just is something quite awesome, really. Yeah, and you're not going to quite get anything the equivalent. Ascot is all dressed in finery, watching the massive crowds, and on the other side, everybody can go in for free and enjoy themselves at fairgrounds and everything, so it's open for all. But it's lots of people in all different sections and everything, but it's just like one mass huge, you know, a quantity, all with the same complete accord, all on that one thing, and it is. And of course, Mullins on the first day, are first, second, and third, which is very rarely done. Only one person ever done that before, and that was Dickinson, who was Yorkshire, of course, and he, in his young years, not only had the first three, but I think it was the first seven in the very big race, and
never been beaten. We're referring to Willie Mullins, of course, whose horse Jackadam couldn't quite pull off a first Cheltenham Gold Cup triumph for Willie Mullins yesterday, but he did have a record 8 wins at the fixture with 2 more victories yesterday. So
he did, and first, second, and third in one of the biggest races. Only one degree under the Gold Cup, as it were. We had first, second, and third, and that was on the first day. Plus, we won 3 or 4 races on the first day as well.
And of course, the crowd were willing Tony McCoy to actually come home, the most successful jockey ever. Didn't quite do it, but at least he got a win.
Flat race. We're talking for National Hunt, you know. National Hunt, the most successful ever. We do have certain legendary flat jockeys who, like Sir Gordon Richards, etc., and that, who have achieved certain figures way past, but that's flat racing. For National Hunt, no rider, and I don't think there'll ever be another who will achieve as many wins as Tony McCoy, because National Hunt, you get terrible injuries, and it is hard, you know. I would have thought maybe if he'd retired at Cheltenham rather than be beaten at Cheltenham, might have been a bigger and better swan song, but each to their own, and everyone chooses when they're actually going to step down.
Exactly. And interesting line about Coney Gray, the owner said the vet told us he's had 2 years off, he's not worth anything, so yes.
That's right, and of course don't forget Lord Oakshire him, and who set up the Injured Jockey Fund, which Jack Berry now continues on, now that Lord Oakley is in heaven above looking down on all of this. And his widow, she of course was there to see the horse come in, and his daughter is married to the trainer, and it's all private, which of course in natural racing you can be, you know, private. You don't have to, what you could describe as mass commercials to be able to race a horse in a place like that. And so it was very much all in the family.
I'm just passing over the front cover of today's issue of The Independent for Laura, so she can actually see pretty much what, if ever I'd ever actually sort of gone into horse racing, which was an impossibility at this particular stage, would be probably what I'd see, the whole range of bottoms there, sort of racing at the sort of end, and of course Tony McCoy.
That's
right. So I take it, Laura, you've never been keen on actually sort of horse riding, horse racing as yet?
I've been to Ripon races. That's about as much as
that's a good little course is Ripon, actually. We have been there before. It's time we sort of returned to it as well. So, Crufts has now been ticked in various ways. Lots of controversy there. The Cheltenham Gold Cup and the Cheltenham Week has been covered. What else do you want to sort of talk about for the next few moments, Minty?
Oh, yeah. Well,
assuming the phone line lasts, of course, because the phone line could drop at any moment.
To name the BBC I was sitting listening to said program. They had one on the morning, but you have to go from place to place. They do say it's an original program trying to find back clues, but I do remember eons ago listening to a radio station in Lincolnshire that used to do the same thing every Sunday, racing around looking for clues and everything, so it's not quite original. But I was rather sitting thinking, silly beggars, but parked the car all the way at the top of the crescent, walked all the way down, and the first clue was Peasholme, and you would have actually parked in Peasholme car park, you know, and then just walked across to Peasholme. But I thought, nevertheless, each to the room. And then next thing, of course, they had to walk all the way back up again, waiting for them to give them a lift up. And I thought, silly, you know.
Exactly, like, yes, never mind, yes.
And then it suddenly dawned on me, when then one of the clues was about, you know, Columbus Ravine, and I suddenly realised about Ace Head Railway train at Scarborough, and I remembered, of course, Graham Harper, driving said railway train full of teddy bears, and of course, Graham Harper's Mr. Doctor Who amongst his many achievements. I'm sure you explained fully about that one that has gone off air. And then it suddenly dawned on me, it's the sci-fi fiction event at the Spa Scarborough. And, of course, I had the intention to go there to do the radio program from there.
I'm laughing at them
forgetting to take the car down to
Peasholme
car park, and so it
goes. Minty, hold fire, because we've got a special mystery voice for you who's just entered the studio, and I wonder if by any chance of imagining, I mean, I might have to drop in a few clues, but mystery voice, would you like to say hello to Minty?
Hello, Minty, how are you doing?
Now, obviously slightly...
Doing okay, and I recognise the voice, but it won't come to me. The name has been partially deaf.
The Irish...
Oh, I know it.
If we said chef, you know, main sort of chef-oriented, yes. Chef man, yes. It's head chef Aaron Craig. Yay!
I see.
Sorry, Laura, I should have built you. Aaron, not to be mixed up with... She got
Aaron.
Aaron, not Aaron, or Sharon. Or indeed Sharon. Yeah, either of those two. Very sort of routine. So Aaron, as Rob Nichols was saying, so where is he these days? I don't know. The BBC did some sort of documentary with him and never heard of him again. So what's been happening?
Been really, really busy, really. Worked at Rockcliffe Hall, so really busy. But I was in the area, thought I'd pop in and see you all.
Well, here you are, you see. Yeah. And it's always nice. Because have you ever met Minty face to face?
Yeah.
Have you met him?
I'm sure I have,
Yes, anyway. Probably at the Yorkshire. Yorkshire show.
Yeah, it was, yeah, that's what it was.
It's been fantastic in every sense of the word. I mean, who would have thought we'd go from sort of critiquing a whole series of events with current sort of BBC sort of system right the way through to the real secrets behind the Crufts dog show and indeed the joys of Cheltenham. So I take it you've had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on the programme today?
Have indeed. I'm just going to plug the sci-fi event is on at the Sports Club for today and tomorrow, and it's Andrew Harness and Steve Dickinson who make scenery for All Man of Television, etc., and lots of props and things like that too. They are running it, and I hope you have a good weekend.
Well, actually, we were supposed to be there, Minty, but we decided, because we had to cancel last week, we weren't able. Shane Rimmer, of course, is there, so Shane Rimmer, the voice of Scott Tracy, is actually in Scarborough at present.
I know, and I should have met up with Shane.
Yeah, but at the same time, you know, I figured I'd had to cancel that last week, had to sort out a few other bits and pieces, so we'd get our Saturday things together. Anyway, not to worry, all will be splendid. What's the next question we usually ask Aaron Craig when we were sort of saying au revoir to our telephonic contactees?
I remember. It's Minty, did you have a reasonable...
We've already asked that. Oh. You know, we just asked it a few minutes ago. So we've done that. So what's the next one?
Can we look forward to maybe hosting you again?
It's another voice asking it. And I mean, you've got to kind of make way. For the voice.
Always got to make way for that other voice. So the question is...
Can we look forward to maybe having you again?
She's answered before. Exactly. Yeah. If you kind of play the podcast back and edit those words in a different order, and you'll get the right kind of answer.
My quick answer was, you don't mean the best one.
Exactly, exactly. Suddenly, we start off where we began.
Well, the tractor boys are coming to the riverside. Mick McCarthy's got his Ipswich team firing on all cylinders. They're ploughing their way up the motorway, hoping to combine their talents to win 3 points. But we're not going to let them turn us over, because we are intractable. Ipswich Town fans might be laughing now, but after the game, the only furrow we want to see is one on Mick's nice, big, shiny forehead. It's an early kick-off, 12:15, on Saturday the 14th of March, so set your cockerels to go off early. So you've got plenty of time to get a full match day brekkie into you and get yourself down to the riverside to make a lot of noise. Just remember, you only reap what you sow. Borough, I care, so I'm there.
Parkville is a purpose-built residential care centre situated at the heart of Middlesbrough and providing personalised care in a modern and homely environment. Parkville aims to help older people to continue to live independent and active lives within the wider community whilst benefiting from the care and support of an experienced and dedicated team of nursing and care staff. At Parkville, we provide facilities to accommodate residential elderly and residential EMI service users. To find out more, please telephone 01642 223334. That's 01642 223334. Parkville Care Centre. Care to call us home.
Strokes affect 130,000 people in England and Wales each year. Here's a recipe that can dramatically decrease your chances of strokes.
Excellent. I better get a pen.
160 grams of calcium.
Hang on, slow down. And one tablespoon.
Remember, any more than one tablespoon could kill you. Any less than one tablespoon could kill you.
Right, what was
and
the recipe?
That's the recipe.
Oh,
if you would like a more simple solution, you can always call Pharma Nord on 01670 519989.
All right.
Or visit the website pharmanord.co.uk.
Let me see if I can jot that down. What was the number again?
01670 519989. Or visit the website pharmanord.co.uk.
And how do you spell Pharma Nord, I wonder?
pharmanord.co.uk.
It's almost as if I'm having a conversation with the radio.
Don't be silly, that's impossible.
Pharma Nord, winning the war of nutrition.
You're listening to a Southside Broadcasting podcast. Southside Broadcasting is a media company which aims to provide a wide range of features from the rural, health and lifestyle worlds. You can regularly listen to entertaining podcasts with interviews and correspondence from Los Angeles, Nashville, New York and London. You can take part in our Book of the Month features, grab some great nutritional advice, enjoy broadcasts from the Great Yorkshire Show, the Lincolnshire Show, and enjoy local football reviews with our regular feature, Fly Me to the Moon. You can even hear a BAFTA award-winning director drive a train full of teddy bears. You can listen to these and many more podcasts at southsidebroadcasting.podbean.com. For further information on how you can join over 35,000 people who regularly download our podcasts, call us on 01642 854 742 or email info@southsidebroadcasting.com now.
Quite right, too. Okay, online now, she has returned, Laura, a lady who is basically just, I mean, when we talk about your concern about not quite following the horse racing scenario at the joys of the Cheltenham Festival, it's all right, because actually Katrina Lakin, we first met up at the Ebor Festival in York, which was, when I won't go into Frankie Dettori, because I promised I wouldn't. Isn't that right, Katrina Lakin?
Hello, yes, that's right.
Yeah, exactly. Good to see you. And also in the studio today, we have a chef from what he claims, and why wouldn't he, is the country's or Yorkshire's top restaurant. It is, of course,
Rockcliffe Hall.
Rockcliffe Hall. I'll say that again for shameless publicity reasons. Rockcliffe Hall. Have you encountered that before, Katrina?
I don't think I have, to be honest.
Exactly. And what about young Laura? Have you encountered Rockcliffe Hall before?
I don't think so.
No. Okay. So, you see. Clearly, if you haven't had the Southside Broadcasting, it hasn't quite got there. Share with us, Aaron. Talk to us. Because I think you have met Katrina before, have you?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yes, yeah. I mean, she possibly can't remember you because she's a very busy girl these days and she's going to get married and it's all very frightening. And I think it was her fiancé who answered the phone this morning and he basically said, who, what, where? I thought, oh, Lord, is this it? Have we got the gatekeeper in place already? Yeah, I thought. But thankfully, all was well with the world and she has returned. So, yes, Katrina, indeed, Aaron, any questions for Katrina about
that? What have you been up to, Katrina?
Oh, all sorts. Like Alex said, wedding planning, but also competitions with the chorus, setting up our own and work. So, busy.
Exactly. And I mean, Laura, have you ever considered joining in a sing-out for the ladies' barbershop quartets? Do you sing?
I do a bit. I'm in the choir at school.
Yes, so that's a start.
Yeah, I've done some singing exams as well.
And singing, I gather, is such a healthy exercise that enables you to get rid of all of your all the gunge in your lungs. It sort of clears the whole thing. What a morning. The rest of it. I mean, do you find that actually, Katrina, it actually helps in terms of a fitness drive? You know, for those people who don't actually fancy crippling their knees by going on 10-kilometre runs through concrete and various other bits and pieces, singing is just as effective of staying healthy.
It's definitely good for the soul. I'm not happy. I've had a good old sing in the evening. But it also helps with the breathing and the lung capacity and stomach muscles, diaphragm, that kind of thing. All helps with singing as well.
I'm glad we managed to solve that. For a moment, it sounded as though you're coming to us whilst you're speaking through several layers of sock, which is okay. But yeah, maybe it's just the peculiarities of the system, really. Maybe from your point of view, Aaron, do you get your sous chefs and other folk at Rockcliffe Hall, fourth shameless plug there, also involved with singing on the day?
Not really. I do like quite a bit of singing, really. I like folk music, so doing that, I was quite lucky. I was away to a gig this week on Wednesday, so I was doing a bit of singing there. So. Did a bit of our traditional Irish music. It's a really good week, because it'd be St. Patrick's Day, coming up on St. Patrick's weekend, so it was good.
So you do something on that day, do you? 17th of March,
drink loads of Guinness.
Okay. I just thought it was some sort of New York event, that's all, really.
Being in Ireland.
I see. Will you be doing anything for St. Patrick's Day, Katrina?
I might be wearing green, probably.
She might be wearing green, you see. And what about the joys of Conyers and the whole school thing? Will they be sort of turning out, oh, sure enough, here come the leprechauns, it's St. Patrick's Day. Will they be doing that, Laura?
Sadly not. In fact, at my school, Christmas was cancelled.
Katrina nearly dropped the phone on that, but I can see it. So let's just... Christmas was cancelled at Rockcliffe School. Why?
Conyers.
Sorry. Rockcliffe, of course, it's where you eat the as opposed to. So Christmas cancelled at Conyers. Why?
Well, exams coming up, I think the head teacher decided we should not be distracting ourselves with Christmas activities, so they were banned.
Right. For all the school?
I think so. We definitely noticed it.
Did you not even have a kind of kosher happy holidays?
No, I don't think so.
Well, there you have it, and obviously it has been recorded and transmitted now, so Laura cannot actually retract that statement. But you know, Christmas band at Conyers. So, you know, has that ever happened in any institution you've worked in? I mean, Oxford Brookes University, Katrina, did they sort of say, yeah, sorry, you students, you need to concentrate on your exams, we're going to cancel all the festivities?
No, I don't remember that ever happening, thankfully.
Aaron, I mean, when you were in the army, did they sort of turn around and sort of say, sorry, you've got to shoot a few more people, it's time to actually...
No, it never happened. No. I'd see the point in it, really. You know what I mean? I had bad band Christmas for a kid. From a chef's point of view.
That's just because a lot of people like to actually sample your
Christmas
foods.
Day,
exactly.
Yeah.
It's the sort of strategy of the whole thing. Outrageous. Laura, any questions you'd like to put to Katrina about singing out with the Ladies Barbershop Quartet, coping with schools that ban Christmas, or indeed anything else about the Southside experience? Because, you know, in many ways, Katrina's now graduating into a sort of, you know, the professor of Southside Broadcasting Studies. So, I mean, she's gone through York mazes with me. She's gone through, you know, obviously horse racing activities. She's gone through tank driving. She's done through teddy bear training. We heard she's actually even had the experience of the giant teddy bear, which I'll just sort of pull up there. As you can see, Katrina there with giant teddy bear at Scarborough. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's really cool. You know, that's postgraduate work, that is, in terms of Southside, etc. So, Laura, questions, given that it's just your second show so far for Katrina?
Well, I'm just starting, so how did you start in Southside?
Well, as Alex mentioned earlier, I started, my first Southside experience was at the Ebor Festival, and it was very much a case of on the spot, in your face and try not to make a fool of yourself, which I think I did and still gets brought up to this day.
I know that when we were actually doing that piece with the commentator, whose name actually says Derek
Thompson.
Thank you, Derek Thompson. Exactly. I know that when Derek Thompson was there, we deliberately said to Katrina, "Look, if he asks you about jockeys like Frankie Dettori, just pretend you don't know. You know, just deflate him." And that's it. It was a strategy to deflate Tomo. That was the sort of line.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And other than that, all was good with the world. You see, so it's marvelous stuff on that basis. Anyway, moving on. Any questions you, Katrina, would like to put to Laura or indeed Aaron? We'll turn those interview tables around whilst we're waiting for Sarah Bullimore to get her taxi home with her Saturday shopping to talk about the Sew Festival in Lincolnshire.
Oh, that sounds interesting.
Oh, it is. Well, you can listen to the podcast.
Tell us a bit more about that.
I can't, because she isn't actually on the phone at present. She will be shortly. What is it this morning with people not understanding what I'm saying? Is it? am I starting speaking in French? Anyway. Have you got any queries, Katrina, for Aaron? Maybe.
I do actually. I'm wondering what is going to be cooked for lunch by Aaron today.
Today?
In the near future.
Very good. Good response there, Katrina. That's very good.
Well, it's more than Sunday tomorrow, so I'm going to be
Simnel cakes.
I think I'm going to do roast beef and Yorkshire pudding, really traditional. I'm off this week, so just do it at home, really. And I like Sunday dinner at home. I like Sunday dinner, and then roast beef and Yorkshire pudding, and then sit down and watch a good film, really. So,
no. Will you be doing anything for your mother, Mothering Sunday, Mother's Day, from your own perspective, Laura?
I think she might be entitled to breakfast in bed.
There we are. And Katrina, presumably it's a case of no. I mean, after a certain time, you just got to realise that, you know, Mrs. Lakin just has to cope with the fact that, you know, the very fact that you're on the planet is joy and gift enough, really, isn't it?
Well, yeah. we are going to cook a dinner tomorrow, though.
Ah, marvellous.
Not breakfast in bed.
Precisely. But the crumbs, I find, surely. You know, the crumbs...
Yeah, she doesn't like it.
Yeah, no. And you don't want to sort of go through a whole thing of getting the polythene sheets out beforehand, and then it's very messy, and it spoils the surprise, I would have thought, really. There's only a certain amount of time you can actually do from that perspective anyway. So, Katrina... Have you had a recently interesting telephonic link with us on the programme today?
I have, thank Thank you.
This is very good. Now, as it's been such a gap since the last time you were on, which is not as long a gap as Aaron, but that would be almost physically impossible, really, because, in fact, you know, thankfully he did actually sign off his email, because I realised that the other email, or rather the email, the text that I actually had from him is in fact a number that no longer works. It's all right, he changed it about 2.5 years ago, but it's all the fans of Rockcliffe Hotel.
It's funny you should say that, because I've had this football for 2 years now, I'm a contract, so it must be, have you not got my new number?
Somewhere, I don't know, but you know, it could just be a random soul sort of sending me material. It does happen, trying to sort of sell me some sort of advertising or you know, PPI insurance thing. In the whole scheme of things, will you return, Katrina? And can we also provisionally book you in for a Wednesday evening show, maybe around about, I don't know, 5 to 6-ish or so on Wednesday? Would that be a possibility?
That sounds like a good point to me.
It's very good indeed. And then you can actually speak to Emma Tinson and Jessica Ward and various other folk who, I think from the department, if they don't understand what I'm saying, when I said could they actually join us for 5 or 10 minutes today, I think they thought they actually had to come into the studio. No, that's the point about a phone link. You can actually be out and about, then deal with the whole thing. Never mind. As you can tell, Katrina, it's the Friday the 13th going into Saturday the 14th. It's very confusing. But the bottom line is Katrina Lakin, she will return. Yes.
Yay.
Offering prestigious accommodation, ensuite facilities and high quality care for residents provided 24/7 by qualifying nurses and carers, Roseville Care Centre provides the perfect home for its residents' emotional, spiritual, social, physical and intellectual needs. A purpose-built residential care facility in the heart of Ingleby Barwick, Roseville is a care centre which provides facilities to accommodate elderly residential and nursing service users, offering both short and long stay accommodation, as well as respite and daycare. To find out more, please telephone 01642 308188 88 or visit our website rosevillecarecentre.com. Roseville Care Centre.
In today's crowded world, it's sometimes hard to get heard. And sometimes, you need a little extra push to be heard. That's where Manila PR can help. We specialise in online radio and press for independent bands, with prices to match, and have been doing so for the last decade. So if you have a noise to make, make it with Manila. Visit manilapr.com now.
Indeed. As promised, the SO Festival is going to be bigger, better, and even more startlingly wonderful than in previous years. Why? Because Sarah Bullimore's involved. Isn't that right, Sarah?
It is indeed, Alex.
Yay! So, Sarah, in the studio we have the wonderful soul, Aaron Craig, who I think you were once photographed with back in the day when he visited the studios of Siren FM.
Yes. Yeah,
you indeed. And off time, Sarah said, "And what happens to that Northern Irish chappy who used to cook things?" Oh, we couldn't know him. No, he's still alive. He still cooks, and he cooks at which hotel?
Rockcliffe Hall.
That's amazing. 6 mentions in the course of the last half hour. It's phenomenal. You should put in for a raise if you haven't already done so. And a young lady who I'm sure would you dance at all, Laura?
I used to do ballet. I just stopped doing ballet.
Why did you stop doing ballet? You're not too tall, surely?
No, but I needed to go to orchestra on the same day.
Could you not combine both? A kind of mash-up? You know, a little bit of a pas-de-deux, a jeté into your sort of musical instrument? Which musical instrument do you play?
Clarinet.
Surely, Sarah, there's got to be a part of the arts world that is crying out for a ballet-dancing clarinet player.
Yeah, definitely.
There you are, who occasionally plays netball as well. It's good. Good work for that. Just building a profile for her, because, you know, it's going up to exam time. Could be scary, GCSEs and all that. Sarah, we can jump straight into the SO Festival, because Katrina Lakin was very keen to find out about it. So keen, in fact, she didn't realise you were going to be on the phone as opposed to in the studio. But there we are, she was on the phone as well, so she'd have to listen to the podcast again. Never mind, most people do. So we can jump straight into the SO Festival, or we can actually give another airing for what blew me away, quite literally, last Wednesday, when we featured a world premiere on the Midweek Drive from one of our California correspondents, Amy Rush. Now, I don't know if you actually encountered Kitty Decides, but once heard, even though it's in aid of animal rescue, probably never forgotten. So would you like to go Kitty Decides, Sarah, or would you like to go So Festival? The choice is yours.
Maybe So Festival.
So you're going So Festival ahead of Kitty Decides?
Yeah, is that a wrong decision?
Well, it could be an interesting strategy. Kitty Decides will be coming up, and we won't let you get away without listening to Kitty Decides. It was so... wonderful. Before the end of the show. But the So Festival. So tell us all about it. Sorry, I couldn't resist it. Carry on.
The festival's coming across to East Lindsay this year. It's a huge outdoor arts festival. And I'm involved this year, as you mentioned, Alex, because I get the absolute delight to work with the festival team as ambassador coordinators this year. I'm going to be recruiting 10 young ambassadors to actually work with us on audience engagement and promotional opportunities for the festival. So it's a fantastic opportunity.
So when you're talking about young ambassadors, how young are these ambassadors?
We're talking between ages of 16 and 25, so not that young, really.
Well, once you're over 19, surely it's over, is it?
Well, this is what I thought, Alex. My family goes up to 55 these days, so. But we're looking for ones who probably are, if they want to work in the arts and culture sector or events, or anyone really who's looking for kind of work experience in that area. It's, I wish that things like this were around when I was younger as well, because it's such a fantastic opportunity as well to get experience and additional training.
Okay, so let's hand over the interview mantle to Aaron for a wee while. Aaron, thoughts for yourself on the So Festival?
So what sort of things have you got going on there at the festival?
Well, I can't mention anything at the moment because I'm not directly involved in the programming, but I know that Katie Louise is going to be on our Inspired on our show soon next week. So I'm imagining that she's going to be doing some teasers ahead. But normally what they do is they have lots of kind of circus and travelling show themes, there's family areas, there's lots of ways that people can kind of participate as well, and lots of kind of spectacular outdoor arts events going on.
Is this something which people who go to schools that ban Christmas can get involved with? I'm talking obviously of Conyers School, even though it's technically up in Teesside. I mean, would you visit and encourage, opportunity was there for Laura to actually make her way with the family down to Lincolnshire over Easter. She's turned us down. It's okay. Appreciate that. But maybe the So Festival later on in the season might be something she could be interested in. I don't know. Yeah. Laura, does this appeal to you good self?
It does sound very interesting.
Well, there's lots of, it travels across the different market towns from like the 25th, 26th of June, and then ends up the big weekend, first weekend of July in Skegness. So it's mostly stuff outdoors, so it's free events anyway, and so there's lots to kind of see while you're there as well. So yeah, it's a great time to kind of visit.
And frankly, Laura, a weekend in July in Skegness is probably the highlight of many, many Western European cultural artists' dreams, really. It is the ultimate, hence the sort of line, I'm sure, that, the Turner Prize winners would always say, well, it's nice to win the Turner Prize, but ultimately I prefer a weekend in Skeggy. If a quote which...
The sun is shining.
When the sun is shining, it's just, I'm going to press the Lincoln Inspired button.
Lincoln Inspired is more than just an arts festival. More than a literary festival, more than a whole set of lifestyle opportunities, and more than what the world has needed for millennia.
To see just how much more Lincoln Inspired can make you, go to lincolninspired.co.uk and explore the inspiration.
And it's popping up all over the place in fundraising and more, isn't it, Sarah?
It is indeed, Alex, yes. Lots of things to look forward to.
So talk us through some of those sort of aspects. I mean, Aaron, have you done any Lincoln Inspired events? I can't recall.
No.
Yeah, you see, he decided to go to Rockcliffe.
Missed it all.
And it's not as though Rockcliffe isn't... I mean, you're a lot closer to Lincoln than you are, in many ways, to Teesside.
Yeah.
There we are.
Nip down the A1.
Precisely.
Yeah, we've got lots of lovely, exciting things, I think, this year. It's kind of a festival with a twist, which we'll kind of be announcing soon, really. So it's not your full big festival, but actually we're going to cram-pack lots of different things in, so it's going to be really exciting.
And let us not forget Telefantasy and Society, Sarah.
Exactly. It's going to be one of the main things kicking us off that week on the Wednesday, hosted by your lovely self.
I'm really, really looking forward to that.
Wednesday, May the 6th, with Jamie Anderson, the current keeper of these of his dad, Jerry Anderson's fantastic sort of material. We've got filmmaker Darren Scales. We've got Shane Rimmer, the voice of Scott Tracy. We've possibly got Graham Harper coming around as well. We've got the editor-in-chief of SFX magazine, Richard Edwards. We've got Richard Hand from the University of South Wales. We've got Fiona Moore and Alan Stevens. We've got Sam Stone, the author of Jinxtown, and a whole heap of other goodies. David Howe. And that's all for a miraculously low £25 for students and £45 for adults. And food is in there as well. Aaron, is that an unmissable deal?
It's a cracking deal.
Exactly.
It's amazing.
In fact, it's so amazing. I feel we need to go too. Yes, Amy Rash, are you ready for this, Sarah? Because, as I say, once heard... I don't know if you caught it beforehand, because it created waves of input, whether or not you like cats or in any way, shape or form.
I love cats.
The video was actually filmed, it hasn't been released yet, but it was filmed in Vasquez Rocks in California, which is where Captain James T. Kirk went head-to-head against the Gorn. Yeah, that exciting. Here he comes, here she comes, Amy Rash, Kitty Decides. Love being pets until the moment when they do not, according to performance artist Amy Rash. So let's boil it around the studio first and foremost. Aaron, have you managed to access amyrash.com in your little mobile device there?
Not yet.
Kitty Decides. Okay. Laura, what did you make of Kitty Decides? stunned. Stunned silence. It's all right. You'll find yourself humming it later on in the day. Sarah Bullimore, Kitty Decides.
It was fantastic. She sounds just like my cat. The song actually could be made for my cat.
Exactly. Yes.
She does actually decide everything.
So.
Yeah. He's in charge.
So. There we have it. She's just the right way, the wrong way. Success, Aaron.
Not yet. We've only got 3G right here, so it's not really.
Well, anyway, it's all there. Some perceive cats changing moods as precarious, but they're not so different from humans. People change their mind. Family members snap at each other. People step on each other's necks to advance their careers. A bit harsh, even for California. Unlike animals, humans don't have an excuse when they act like animals. A bit of philosophy coming through in the whole system there. How can people keep up to date with the Sew Festival and indeed Lincoln Inspired, Sarah Bullimore?
Well, they've both got Facebook pages, so that's probably the best and quickest way, really, to go and find them. So just go into search and search Lincoln Inspired and Sew Festival and find those. Give us a like and keep abreast of all the news, and they'll be letting you know what's going on.
Yeah. So will you be doing that, Laura McCann? Will you be going to the Facebook page and liking Lincoln Inspired?
I will do.
You might even check out Kitty Decides as well. Not the two connected, but still. The video will be released shortly, and it's got pink trailers, and it's got Julie Newmar-type cat suits, and, well, what's not to appreciate about Kitty Decides in glorious pink? Not that I'm really a pink person, but then again, it wasn't my decision. Ha, it's kitties. Right, time now to see if Laura McCann, at the end of her second piece of time here, as far as the Southside Broadcasting event is concerned. And do you know what, Sarah? She was such a wonderful... This morning, she didn't actually knock on the door. She didn't actually come up to the studio. She didn't actually walk into the studio. She sat in reception and sent me a text saying, "I've just arrived at the north entrance." She's very polite. I wouldn't have known she was actually there had I not actually texted her. If I'd left my mobile phone, she might have still been sitting there. She would have missed Minty Steed, Katrina Lakin, and your good self. She would not have encountered Aaron Craig. Mind you. You can go back to your family now and say, "I know exactly where we can go to actually have a top line meal for, you know, real experience." In fact, you could probably take your mum to Rockcliffe Hall.
I can't believe you've never heard of it.
Just test it. Sarah Bullimore, have you ever heard of Rockcliffe Hall?
No, I didn't.
You see, there, it's the 4-4-4 now.
Well, I'd have thought you'd heard of it. It's owned by a person that owns a football team. Any clues?
The football team. What, Rockcliffe United?
No. Middlesbrough Football Club.
Yeah. Well, hence Rockcliffe Training Ground, of course.
Yeah.
Yes, yeah. It's all part and parcel of that rich tapestry. In fact, it's a little known fact that Aaron Craig once actually used to be the head chef responsible for feeding the players most of their kind of key foods and nourishment. Are you back with them again?
Yeah.
Oh, so you can take credit now, because I was going to actually follow that up with a rejoinder. Of course, they were relegated then, and now they're doing well. But obviously, now that theory has been knocked into a cocked hat.
Yeah. Good for a lot of teams now. West Ham, Man City, Manchester United.
Well, there's one of those sides which, as you know, there's one of those sides which is absolutely sort of top form from that point of view. Did Sergio Aguero have a good? Did he consume his stuff well? Was it good?
Yeah, you would believe what they eat, though. But
I would believe what they eat. Of course, we'd believe it. I'm sorry, Sarah. We're going off into football's dietary habits, which is something. Something we could obviously spend a lot of time with, but I figure, no, not today. You know, I mean, it's the 14th of March 2015. We can ease away from that perspective. But I'll test Laura right now to see if Laura can remember the last two questions that she needs to actually use, because this is a critical one. So, Laura, would you like to ask those last two questions to our arts correspondent extraordinaire and so festival ambassador coordinator, Sarah Bullimore?
Have you enjoyed your time on the radio?
Yes, thank you. It's been great.
And will we see you again?
You will indeed.
There you are. And don't forget Inspired on a Wednesday. So much good stuff this Wednesday. I'm going to tease ahead for you, Sarah, and the listener, because people can obviously listen to Siren by going to sirenonline.co.uk and, or indeed tune in on any of the sort of multiple devices that you can listen to the thing online for, as well as waiting for the podcast on southsidebroadcasting.podbean.com. But this Wednesday, we will be having Katie Louise Green online joining us on the show. We'll be having Julie Ellaby from the Lincoln Performing Arts Centre, the arts coordinator there and marketing officer. We've also got ace poet Michael Blackburn. We've got Jill Hart from Linden Books actually coming into the studio as well. And we'll probably even squeeze in some more goodness from the Children's University with Bethany Evie. That's Bethany Evie from Lincoln's Children's University, which might be rolled out to all sorts of other areas. So, you know, the Children's University will be there, Inspired on Air, this Wednesday between 1 p.m. and 2 p.m. on Lincoln's award-winning first community radio station, East Midlands Radio Station of the Year, 2 years running. That will be Siren FM. That's worth tuning into, isn't it, Sarah?
Definitely, yeah. No, they're absolutely fantastic. I'm hoping that I might be able to pop it.
Always room for a Sari Bullimore, that's what I always say. So it's great stuff, and save your own foot for the week afterwards. I think we seem to, I suspect that there must be a little button which I'm pressing called sock button, because every so often we've had a few sort of little socky moments where it sounds as though you've gone all very woolly, but thankfully it's all worked perfectly. Sari Bullimore, we salute you. Stay tuned, of course, to Southside Broadcasting as far as Channel 1 is actually concerned. Heaps of good music. Let me see, we've got the Black Eyed Peas, we've got Taylor Swift, we've got Gary Barlow, we've got Take That, David Bowie, Bill Withers. We've also got interviews with Cindy Martin coming up, and indeed a rerun of yesterday's podcast of Fly Me to the Moon, because it's Ipswich Town up in about 25 minutes from now. They actually kick off. Have you fed them, by the way, Aaron?
Not today.
Oh. No, of course not, because, yeah, but yesterday did you feed them?
No. I've been off all week.
Well, there we are. So it could be critical to see what Aitor Karanka's boys or Mick McCarthy boys come up with as far as, you know, their nutrition is all concerned. Where's the love?
What's wrong with the world, mama? People living like they ain't got no mamas. I think the whole world's addicted to the drama. Only attracted to things that'll bring the trauma.
Frankly rude, we haven't actually asked those last two questions in the studio. Laura McCann, have you enjoyed your second show today?
I have, thank you.
Marvellous. And Aaron, have you enjoyed your return after 2.5 years?
Fantastic, thank you.
Very good. And I take it you might be back then, Laura?
I will be.
How many hours do you have to do before we actually tick off that sort of silver award?
I think it's over a period of about 6 months.
6 months?
I think
six
so.
Months? Well, we'll see you again probably a fortnight or there goes. And Aaron, likewise, you're not doing an award, are you?
No.
Not this time around.
I'll do if you want.
I'm sure, yeah. People are dying, children hurt, and you hear them crying. And you practice what you preach, and won't you turn the other cheek? Father, 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 help us, send some guidance from above. These people got me questioning, where is the love?
Change. New days are strange. Is the world insane? If love and peace are so strong, why are the pieces of love that don't belong? Nations dropping bombs, chemical gases filling lungs of little ones with ongoing suffering as the youth are young. So ask yourself, is the loving really gone? So I could ask myself, really what is going wrong in this world that we living in? People keep on giving in, making wrong decisions, only visions of them dividends. Not respecting each other, denying thy brother. A war's going on, but the reason's undercover. The truth is kept secret, it's swept under the rug. If you never know truth, then you never know love. What's the love, y'all? Come on.
I don't know.
Where's the truth, y'all? Come on.
I don't know.
Where's the love, y'all?